Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. Welcome back to The Truth About Sales. This is week number 4. I am your illustrious host, Joel Rico. Thank you for being here. And I'd like to start out with a little quick apology. I'm just getting over a little sinus thing, and this is about as loud as I get. So my voice is coming and going, and if at any point on the call today I disappear for just a second, it means I'm holding down my mute button so I can cough and not cough in your ear. So forgive me in advance for that. So this week, we're taking on the structure of agreement. So what is that really, agreement? Well, there's lots and lots of levels of agreement. So language itself is an agreement, right? We have an agreement that this thing that we're talking on is called a telephone. Now, that's not important. It's just we have an agreement that the sound telephone represents this thing that we're using to talk on. Those things that you're wearing on your feet, we have an agreement that those things are called shoes. And so it's not significant at all. It's just we have an agreement. The sound represents that thing. So even language itself is an agreement. Now let's open that aperture up a little bit further. And sales itself is an agreement, right? We agree that you want one of these and they want one of those, and this person wants to buy it and that person wants to sell it, and they're willing to pay this much and they're willing to take that much. And we set up agreements. Hopefully they're win-win-win agreements. And so that's another layer of agreement. So does that make sense? Uh-huh. So even that, is an agreement. So one of our intentions in the sales process is to establish as much agreement as we can. In a perfect world for me, in a perfect world, I would like my sales presentation, my listing appointment, my lead gen appointment, my recruit appointment, whatever, I would like those to be full of agreement. I would like to be able to say, yes, I get it, I agree, I got it, great, yes. I'd like to say that as much as possible. And more importantly, I'd like the client to say that as much as possible. During the appointment, I would like the client to say, yes, yep. I would like to generate as much agreement as possible. So that's really our intention for today. So as usual, before we jump into a bunch of new stuff, let's do a little quick check-in about last week's stuff. So last week we did VAK style, and we did level shifts, and we blended those two together such that the level shifts were coordinated with your client's VAK style, right? So if your client was highly auditory, then we might use a level shift, something like, oh yeah, I really hear you. So that sounds to me like you're saying blah, 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 and then level shift them to a higher order of issue. All right, so any questions, any ahas, any breakthroughs, anything awesome that came out of your practice last week? Questions, comments, breakthroughs, ahas, oh my God, I'm lost, anything like that about where we've been so far before we jump into new stuff? No? You guys mastered all that last week? You got all the VAK style figured out? Coordinated them with level shifts? Were you able to identify people? This was the home play. Were you able to identify people as you were speaking to them? Wow, this person's really auditory. Wow, that person's really kinesthetic. Did you catch any? So questions, comments, anything? I see a couple of people. Somebody unmuted. Yes.
Joel, Harry Gibbs in Texas. Question back on the interviews. I wanted to ask you one question about the interviews.
Sure.
I have a I'm having...
This is the... Hang on a second. You're talking about the 360 interview from call number one, yes?
Yes, 360 interviews,
okay.
Which I'm going...
Yes.
I'm still continuing to do it with a lot of people, friends, family, clients, pastors, everybody that I
Bravo.
Can.
Bravo.
To get a... But one thing that I'm noticing, I seem to be having trouble getting people to talk about weaknesses. You're strong at this, you're this, you're that,
yeah.
And you don't owe any apologies, blah, 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 but no real... weaknesses a little bit, but not as much as I would want to really maybe, because I think we learn from our weaknesses maybe more so than we learn from
couldn't
our
agree.
Strengths.
I couldn't agree more. So a couple of things really briefly. So everybody else, I just want a quick plug here for Harry. So he's still doing this process from week number one. And Harry, I think that the magic thing here is you authentically want to know what the weaknesses are. Right, some people do this, and they just like, well, tell me what's good about me. Like, you know, boost my ego. There's no growth in getting your ego boosted. The growth is here. Harry saying, well, I didn't get any weaknesses. People are fluffing me up, but I didn't learn anything from that. So, Harry, I think the setup for this, the key to this really, is in the setup. Meaning, sorry, that was my first mute and cough. Meaning that... In the setup, I really want to get clear to whoever I'm interviewing. Hey, I'm doing some growth work, and I've realized that I have some blind spots, right? There's things that I think I'm doing okay that I'm not doing okay. You know, like I have spinach in my teeth and I don't see it. I'm really looking to grow. I'm really looking to have some breakthroughs. And as somebody I trust, you know, I'm hoping that you'll, you know, help illuminate the things that I can't see. In fact, the more honest, the more direct, the more brutal you are with illuminating these things for me, the more you're going to be helping me. And it might be uncomfortable. I just want to reassure you that I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to hold it against you. It's not going to hurt our friendship. In fact, it's my intention that this is going to boost our friendship by bringing a new level of honesty and helping me see the things that I'm not seeing. So are you willing to go down that path with me? Something like that. So are you setting it up that cleanly and really being clear that, hey, I'm looking for the dirt?
Yes, I am. I think maybe not quite the way you said it, but I am doing that. And then I start to wonder, am I – reaching out to people who maybe might see weaknesses in me more so than people, maybe it's subconsciously choosing somebody to say, okay, all these people are people that are allies, and maybe they're not going to say anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out. But thank you. Thank
okay.
you for helping
You're
me
welcome. And then okay. thing number two is when you say, what are my strengths? And they say, blah, 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 blah. Really important there, right? We're setting up the pattern. Really important on the first one, on the strengths, is your only response is, great, thank you. Is there anything else? Great, thank you. Is there anything else? Great, thank you. Is there anything else? Right? I really want to model for them that there's no upset, there's no response, I'm not going to defend, I'm not going to justify, I'm just going to say, thank you very much. Is there anything else? Okay, great. Now, what do you see are my weaknesses? Well, you know, you could do a little of this better. Great, thank you. Is there anything else? Right, and I really want to model that there's not going to be any retribution. There's no response to any of that. So, awesome, Harry. Great, great, great for you to keep doing that. For those of you that haven't, I'm sure there's somebody in the group that skipped that and thought, oh, I'm fine, I don't need to do it. It's maybe one of the biggest payoffs you'll get from this whole training is to see the things that are visible to others that are invisible to you. It's an incredibly valuable insight. So if you haven't done some of those, I recommend you do minimum 5. Better to go do 10. And, you know, find out how you show up in the world. Consider that who we are in the world is reflected in those around us. You might think that you're an awesome person, and everybody else might think that you're annoying as all get out. So the question is, are you awesome or are you annoying? Well, who gets to decide if you're annoying? All the other people. All the other people get to decide. So find out, right? See how that's reflected back. Find out how you show up for others. That's what that exercise is about. Cool. Anybody else? Questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs? Oh my God, I'm lost. Anything while we're here? All right, then. Why don't we jump in and do some new stuff then? See, I had one other thing I was going to share, and it's fallen out of my head. So let's jump in and do some new stuff. So this week, again, we're doing agreement. And agreement is, I think, a very easy thing to create when it's your intention to create. So in this call today, just by listening to this call, you will see a whole new realm and absorb unconsciously a new way of connecting with others. And when you become curious about how the conversation unfolds, and you set the intention that the conversation is a tool to get connected with each other, when your intention is to be connected, then we start to look at the conversation through the filter of, how can I be connected? How can I make this person right? And as you become curious on how to be deeper connected with people, your worldview will evolve. And as your worldview evolves, begin to see ourselves as a contributive player in the big game of life. And then most of us, will eventually evolve to wanting to make a difference for others. This is really the intention. And today, we're going to be using the structure of agreement to get us there. So, back to our origins. Language itself. The words we use are nothing more than agreements. Language itself is inert, meaning there's a big difference between, the word tree and an actual tree, right? They say in the classical NLP study, don't mistake the map for the territory, right? A globe is not the same as planet Earth. So a globe is like, it's just a word. It's a representation. It's inert. Planet Earth is a giant living ecosystem. So language itself is just a sound. It's just a symbol. It's not the same as you know, the real thing. So our goal here is using language as an agreement. So one other thought. This is right out of your handout. We're all being driven by our ego, right? You're a human being. You were born with an ego. The ego, its job is to protect you and to make you look good and to make you be right. It's what the ego does. So just knowing that you have this mechanism between your ears, whose job it is to make you look good and be right and be cool and whatever, knowing that this is the mechanism that's running between your ears, we also know that everybody has that mechanism, not just you, everybody. And knowing that your clients are running the same mechanism, that they too are being run by an ego, that they too are driven to look good and be right. If we're unconscious to this fact, then what we end up having is a contest to see who's good and who's right. In fact, when I hear most conversations, I hear a lot of one-upsmanship. Oh, yeah, well, my dad can beat up your dad. Oh, yeah, well, my dad's 8 feet tall. Oh, yeah, well, my dad's a billionaire. So, you know, we end up playing this game to see who's bigger, who's badder, who's right. Right? That's just the way we operate. So knowing that this is the way we operate, we have two choices. We can either unconsciously let that conversation play out, or now that you've seen behind the curtain, now that you know this is the way your subconscious and your ego is running you, what if instead we make the client right? Right? So consider, when we are in this loop of I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. By the way, I see a lot of realtors, a lot of salespeople do this, especially realtors do this with the list price. You go into a listing appointment, you've done your homework, you've done the comps, you've done the math, you used to be an appraiser, you've done the comparison method, you've done the replacement method, you've done three or four ways, you've triangulated distances, you've added and subtracted for square footage and bedrooms, you've really nailed down the price to the dollar. Like, you've really got it right. You probably are right. What happens if the seller has a different idea of the price and you go in and prove yourself to be right? What else did you just do? Well, unconsciously, you proved them wrong. That's the problem with this right and wrong dichotomy. Even if you're right and you prove yourself to be right, you make the other person wrong. So one of the things that we're going to take on today is, instead of unconsciously letting our egos run us to make us be right and look good, what if instead we make the client right and we focus on getting rid of the ego and we move to make the client look good and be right? So here's the question is, what would it be like for other people to be around you whenever they're around you, they feel good, they get validated, they're made right, they're confirmed and validated and approved? Think about that. Do you know anybody like that? That whenever you're around them, they make you feel good, they make you feel smart, they boost your ego, they tell you how right you are, they tell you how smart you are. Is that a person you want to be around a lot? Sure. So this is what I want for my clients. I want them to feel great being around. I want them to want to be around me more. I want to make them feel good about themselves. All right, so that's step one. What about the rebound of that, right? So the pendulum always corrects itself in the other direction. What about the person who agrees with everything? What do you think about that person? Right, no matter what you say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's great, you're so smart, oh, my gosh, you're so amazing, oh, yeah, that's right, mm-hmm, uh-huh, yep. And it doesn't make any difference what you say. They agree with everything. Do you still value that person's opinion? What do you think of this person? Right? Isn't there a special name for that kind of behavior? So do you still value this person's opinion? Typically, no. Right? If they agree with everything, then no. So I have a really good friend of mine that likes every movie he sees. Every movie. Every time I talk to him, oh my gosh, I saw this movie, you got to see this movie, that's going on, describing it, and he's describing it, and pretty much he's like, yeah, it's called Ice Age. Really? Really? All that for a cartoon, really? So he likes every movie. So he's an awesome guy, he's very bright, and I just don't take movie recommendations from him because everything's awesome to him. So what happens when we agree with everything? All of a sudden we no longer have, our opinion is no longer valid. So here's the real question. How do we find agreement with others and simultaneously remain in integrity and remain honest with ourselves? How do we do that? Well, a key component of agreement is finding common ground. I want to agree with the things that I agree with. I don't have to agree with everything, yet I want to hopefully pick the things that I do agree with so I can add agreement to the conversation. All right, so how do we know what's there that we do agree with or we don't agree with? Well, that comes from asking lots of questions, because I have no idea. I have no idea what your position is until I start asking questions. All right, and I'm going to read this right out of your handout. It says, how we show up in the conversation with others determines our position. We're constantly judging and evaluating others to determine if they're safe, right? If they're friends, family, if they're in my tribe, or to find out if they're in the dangerous category, right? Depending on their position. So One way to demonstrate that you're in the safe category for them is to side with them, underline this, when it's true and when it's authentic to you. All right, so I want you to hopefully answer these questions really briefly. How do you feel when somebody agrees with you? I feel good, right? I feel good. I like it when they agree with me. I like to be right. How do you feel when somebody disagrees with me, with you? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel made wrong. That could be. Sometimes, depending on who it is and how it's delivered, maybe it's an opportunity for growth. It might be exciting. Depends on what the disagreement is. Right? When and where do you feel that you're always right, and what would it take for you to give this up? So for us in the real estate biz, this is a big, big deal about list price. I can't tell you how many times I've seen an agent who is a great agent, who had the right price, lost the listing because they had the right price, yet they delivered the price in a way that made the seller feel wrong, even though they had the right price. So they won the argument on price, they lost the listing. Right? And then one of our goals today is, how do we generate agreement on disparate topics? Right? The client wants $1.5 million for the property, and the comps say the thing's worth $550,000. All right, we have a disparate argument here. What do we do about that? Right? So that's what we're gonna take on today. All right, so we have two real topics today. Let's see, did I make a note about this? I did. So we have two real topics today. The first topic that we're taking on is called a tie-down question. If you study this and look it up and Google it, whatever, tie-down questions are also known as a tag, T-A-G, tag question. Same thing, two names, same thing. So these are really, really simple. By the way, this course, The Truth About Sales, starts easy. And it gets more and more and more complex. We start layer upon layer upon layer. So please keep up. The best thing that you can possibly do in this course, if you do this, I promise you'll have a crazy breakthrough. Right now, time block about 20 or 30 minutes per day in the morning to practice what you're getting in this course. You do that every single day, practice for 30 minutes. At the end of a couple of months, you will be a ninja, I promise. All right, so a tie-down question is a short, short, short question placed at the end, usually at the end of a statement, and it has basically two purposes. The purpose is to create agreement and to produce an implied yes. All right, so what if I say something like, well, you definitely want me to get you the most money for the house, right? And they go, yeah, definitely want the most money for the house. Sure, yes, I do. So what did the client just say yes to? Listen to that sentence again. You definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the house, right? Yes, of course I want that. So are they saying yes to they want the most money? Or are they saying yes to they want me to get them the most money for the house? Right? That's an implied yes. They're saying yes to the most money, and we have an implied yes that it's implied that they want me to get it for them, right? So the tie-down question produces some agreement because we got the client to say yes, and it produces an implied yes for whatever preceded it. All right, the other thing the tie-down question does is it keeps the client involved. In coming weeks, you're going to be learning some pretty heavy language structure based on NLP, lie detection, conversational hypnosis, hypnotherapy, etc., NVC. You're going to be learning a lot of these language tools. And some of these tools are somewhat hypnotic. And it's never my goal to put my client in a trance. Actually, the opposite. I want to use hypnotic language to wake people up, not to put them in a trance. So one of the things that we're going to do to help wake people up is we're going to use this tool to pull in some agreement. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. Well, you want the most money possible, right? Yes, I do. You want to learn as much as you can from this course, don't you? Uh-huh. Yes, I do. So notice when this is very key. This is not in your handout. You might want to write this down. Notice whenever we make a statement, the truth about sales is the greatest sales workshop ever. Right? What happens to you when I make that statement? Right? You go into judgment. When I make a statement, you have no choice but to judge it. It's what our mind does. We immediately start thinking, well, sure, it's good, but it may not be the greatest one in the world. And of course you're saying that. You're biased. You're the teacher. You want me to sign up. Right? So when I make a statement, it forces the listener to be in judgment. When I ask a question, you want the most money possible, right? Now, let me think about that. Most money possible. Yes. Yes, I want the most money possible. Notice that the question forces the listener to think. The statement forces the listener to judge. So I want to make more questions and fewer statements. And the easiest way to generate a question and enroll the client to think is to use questions. And these are the shortest, easiest ones that we know. So big list of them on your handout. There are things like, wouldn't that be great? Doesn't that make sense? Is that true? Yes. Okay. Right. Do you agree? Don't you agree? Should we? Shouldn't we? Right. Remember, the goal here is agreement. So a couple of examples. I did this one already, the first one. You definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the home, right? Do you think they're going to say, nope, we don't want that? See, is this a leading question? Yeah, definitely. Definitely it's a leading question. Now, what about in the negative? What about in the negative? We could also say something like, now, you don't want to leave any of your profits on the table, do you? And the client says, no, right? And notice we're saying, no, we don't want that either. So even though the client's saying no, we're saying no too, we're saying no together, it still creates agreement, even though it's a negative agreement. You don't want to lose money, do you? No. You don't want to leave equity on the table, do you? No. We don't want to do this the hard way, do you? No, right? We're both saying no together. So even inside a negative, we're generating agreement. All right, let's rip through these examples really quick so we can get to the next one. You're committed to grow your business, aren't you? Well, yes, I am. Notice these are very leading questions. And they're not open-ended questions. They're not like, how big do you plan on growing this business? Right? That's like processing. That's heavy. Now they got to think about it versus you're committed to grow your business, right? So the goal here is little, short tie-downs at the end, right? True? Does that work for you? Does that make sense? When you take out the garbage, the kitchen will smell better. Won't that be great? Yeah, that would be great. So notice, short, designed to generate yes, designed to generate agreement, and designed to keep the client involved. Most of us, me too, most of us talk too much. And I commonly ask realtors, hey, go record your listing presentation. I want to hear it. And what I get back is 90 minutes of the realtor speaking and 3 or 4 minutes of the client going, uh-huh, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. Right? We talk way too much. So what do we do about that? Well, we want to enroll the client to do that as well. How do we do that? More questions. All right, so the last two examples are, the more that you exercise your rights, the more they'll be securing them for future generations to come. Isn't that what you want for your kids? Yes, that's what I want. And the last one is self-talk. Every time I pick up the phone, I'm moving one step closer to my goals. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. So a really fun way to practice these with each other, right? Find a role-play partner that you're going to play with. A really fun way to practice these is just to simply play the tie-down game with each other. What does that sound like? Well, the two of you or three of you in a circle or whatever, you say, wow, I'm really loving this new language of sales. This new truth about sales course. I'm really loving this new truth about sales course. Aren't you? Yes, I am. I'm learning something new every week. Isn't this exciting? Well, yes, it is. I can't wait to tell all my friends about this course. You too? Mm-hmm, yeah, me too. In fact, I've already decided to sign up for a second time. Isn't that great? And just keep tying it down. Why? Well, like all things in this course, there is no magic bullet. The real magic is your habit. So just like kung fu practice, this is the maneuver we're practicing this week to develop a habit. Hopefully, you'll generate the habit of saying, well, that makes sense, right? And the client goes, uh-huh. And you want the most money possible, don't you? Uh-huh. So you said you need to be there in 60 days, didn't you? Yes, I did. And you're hoping to get about $650 for the house. Is that true? Mm-hmm, that's right. And you said you're not going to paint and carpet. You want to sell it the way it sits, right? Uh-huh, that's right. So what am I doing? I'm getting the client to go, yep, uh-huh, yes, mm-hmm, yes. This is, by definition, the sales process, asking questions that lead to a desired end result. All right. So we're doing two techniques today, three techniques today. That was number one. So questions, comments, anything about tie-down/tag questions. Really straightforward, really short. Use them as much as you want. Feel free to use them liberally. So questions, comments, ahas, anything about that before we shift gears again. No questions, no ahas, no nothing?
Hey, Joel.
Yes.
Hey, it's John in Vegas.
Hey, John.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you, when we do the tie down, is it typically always at the end of the question?
Typically, yes. Do you have a structure on where to put it somewhere else?
No, I'm just trying to think, can you put it in the middle or... after you ask the question, do you ask another? So I guess what I'm trying to say is I need to just pause and let the client answer after I do the tie down.
Yeah. So in this one, I want to give the client enough space to go, uh-huh.
Right.
Now, you want the most money possible in the sale, right? And the client goes, well, yes, of course I do. Great. So do you see that? The higher we start the list price, the fewer people are going to come see it. You see that, right? I go, well,
right.
Yeah, I guess so. So the lower we price the house, the more people are going to come to see it. Does that make sense? Well, yeah, that makes sense. And then the more people that come to see it, the more likely we're going to get multiple offers and start a bidding war. Wouldn't that be exciting? Well, yeah, that would be exciting, right? So I want to just little steps. And
wow,
make
so
a statement,
like
and then tie it down. Say again?
I said you did like five tie downs and like
yeah.
All those.
And I wouldn't normally do five in a row, but, you know, we're practicing them this week.
Okay. Thank you.
Helpful?
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks for the question, John. Anybody else? All right. Going once, going twice. Gone. So...
Hello, Joel?
Yep. Now somebody just unmuted. Yes?
Yes.
Joel, actually.
What's the difference?
Hang on one second. Hang on. I heard the young lady's voice first, whoever that is.
Thanks. It's Debbie from New York.
Okay. Hi, Debbie from New York.
What's the difference between you definitely want to get the most money for your house, don't you, versus do you want to get the most amount of money for your house?
Are very similar. So, do you want to get the most money for your house? Well, yes, I do. It's a yes-no question.
Yeah, but
it doesn't have a tie-down. Versus a statement, you want the most money for your house. Yeah, I do. Don't you? Yes, I do. So, there's a softer yes on the most money for the house, and there's a more assured yes on the tie down. In fact, Debbie, if you would, unmute and come back in here and ask me that same exact question in about 10 minutes after we do the next piece, and you'll see how they tie together.
Okay, sure? And one more.
Sure.
I find that they don't follow that script exactly, and they usually just don't say yes. They always have a yes, but you do want the most...
What? I don't know what script you're referring to.
This one. The sellers aren't following that all they have to say is yes. They'll usually answer yes, but I do want the most amount of, for my house, but I'm not giving it away. But, you know, when they have a...
Great. So I want to... So in harmony with our lesson for this week, I want to remain in agreement. So, Debbie, you want the most money for your... Role play that with me. You want the most money for your house, right?
And well, yeah, but I'm not giving it away.
No, nor do I want you to give it away. I want to sell it for as much money as possible. We have the same goal here, right? Sell it for as much money as possible. Yes?
Well, I'm not sure.
Do you want to sell it for less than the most money possible? Do you want to leave profit on the table, or do you think you should get to keep that profit?
Well, I don't agree with everything that you're telling me that I have to do.
Okay, well, we can talk about that separately. I want to make sure first that you want to sell the property for a lot of profit, or do you not care about the profit? We need to sell it really quick to get to your new job. Or do you want to sell it for high profit? Is that important to you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. Right, so Debbie was just being role-playing a difficult client that just took a couple of extra steps. I want to circle back around and get her into agreement. She's being difficult. So what do? Ask some more questions and re-enroll her in, yeah, I want that too. You don't have to agree with everything I had to say. You don't have to do everything I'm recommending. I just want to make sure we're on the same page that we want to sell the house for a high profit. You're in this for the money, right? Yes, yes, I am. Great.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Thank
Helpful?
You.
Yeah.
Very.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, there was somebody else, a gentleman's voice, had a question also a minute ago.
Yes.
Yes.
This is Jim from San Diego. Joel, you mentioned role play. Is there a website up there where... like there was before?
Yeah.
How do we get a hold of each other?
Yeah, you can go to, on Facebook, you can go to The Truth About Sales. And forgive me, I've not been very active on posting on that website, but you can all go to The Truth About Sales on Facebook and just put up a little thing saying, hey, I'm in blah, blah, blah time zone. I'm looking for a Truth About Sales role play partner on Tuesdays at, you know, 8 Pacific or whatever, and hopefully you'll find each other there.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Jim. All right, great questions. Great, great, great. All right. Let's jump over to technique number 2 for today. So that first technique was tie down questions. Our second technique is called pacing statements. Paces. Really simple. So, and by the way, for those of you that haven't trained with me before, this pacing statement you're going to see a lot of in the future. So, good thing to master. So, what is a pace? P-A-C-E. What is a pace? A pace is anything that the client tells you, anything that you observe about the client, anything that's so clear about the client that when you repeat it back to the client, they must agree. They don't have to agree out loud, but it has to be true for the client, such that when you repeat it, it's a built-in agreement. Right? Like right now, we're on the phone together. Uh-huh. Right, I'm just regurgitating back a truism for you. We're on the phone together right now. Uh-huh. This is the truth about sales. Uh-huh. This is week number 4. Mm-hmm. We just spoke about tie-down questions. Mm-hmm. Now, that might sound kind of silly and rote or pedantic, like I'm just regurgitating back what's already true. Yes, yes, I am. And look at the benefits it creates. Number one, it demonstrates to the client that you heard them. This is huge. And it creates an agreement. So how do you know what's true for the client? How do you know what a pace is for the client? You've got to ask questions. So once you book the appointment and once you pre-qualify the appointment, great, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, tell me, where are you moving to? Oh, we're moving to San Diego. Oh, great, good for you. I'm curious, what's in San Diego for you? What's important about San Diego? Right? Oh, well, you know, we like the beach and the climate and the blah, 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 and we have a rental property there. Oh, great. So what's it going to do for you to live by the beach and closer to your rental portfolio? What's that going to do for you? Right? So I'm just learning about their needs and wants and desires, getting their core criteria. I'm wrapping my arms around what's true for this client. Then once I know kind of the scoop of where they're at now, what are they selling, what are they buying, where are they going, what's important about that, how soon do they need to be there, once we know the structure of it, then we can easily generate rapport by using what we already know. So Mr. and Mrs. Seller, let me make sure I got this right. You said you want to move to San Diego. Uh-huh. And you'd like to be there because you own a bunch of rental property there. Mm-hmm. And you'd like to be closer to your portfolio to keep an eye on it. Uh-huh. And you love living near the beach. Uh-huh, that's right. You told me that you'd like to be there by the end of January. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately you'd like to purchase a 5-bedroom home. That's right. And you'd love at least a peekaboo ocean view so you can at least see the water. Uh-huh. So what am I doing? All I'm doing is feeding back to the client that which I know to be true for the client. And what is the client's only possible response? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm, yes. My goal is to get the client to say yes 20 or 30 times in an hour. Mm-hmm, yes, 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 mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm, yep, yep, yep. That's the goal. So of critical importance here is, what is not a pace? What's not a pace? Well, what you think is important is not a pace. I mean, it might be, but it might not be. A pace is only a pace that's true for the client. So, for example, the client has 6 children, and they want an 8-bedroom house. And they say, well, it's important to us that, you know, I need an office and I need a bedroom for each kid, so we need an 8-bedroom house. So I can say back to the client, well, an 8-bedroom house is important. And the client goes, yeah, yes, it is. Now, that's true for the client, but it's not true for me. I don't need nor do I want an 8-bedroom house. So notice the pace is audience specific. So some questions for you. What kind of paces can you generate right now for an expired listing? If you're calling an expired, what are some paces that you could use that would guarantee? Yep, uh-huh, uh-huh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep. What could you say to an expired that would guarantee some agreement? Your home was on the market for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Your home was on the market for 1 year, whatever your expired data tells you. Mm-hmm. Wow, you were listed at 550 and you reduced it down to 525 and it still didn't sell. Uh-huh, I know. Right? Whatever it is that you know. What kind of paces could you use with a for sale by owner? You're attempting to sell it on your own. You've been on the market for 3 weeks. You told me you've had several showings and no offers. Whatever it is that you know that they're going to go, uh-huh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep. How about for a buyer sale? By the way, I don't always say this to the client. I'm saying it to you now so you know that I didn't make it up. You said, so for a buyer sale, You said you wanted a house with a big backyard. Now, I'm not making that up. That's the buyer told me that, and I'm saying it back to the buyer. So you want a house with a big backyard. Now, that's not my opinion. That's what the buyer told me, and I'm saying it back. So you want a house with a big backyard. You'd like a house with a pool. You told me that you want a single-story home with no steps. You said you want to be north of the river and east of the freeway. Whatever you know. Now, how do you do this? Well, you do this by listening. The only thing that fuels this ability is to ask questions and listen. All right, so a few other categories here. What about in recruiting? What are some paces that you could use for recruiting somebody either to your company or to your team? Right, you said you are ready for another opportunity. You told me you're wanting to make more money. You said you want to increase your profit margin. You told me you need help with blah, blah, blah. You said you want to take it to the next level. You told me you outgrew your last partner. You said you want to be a part of something bigger. I don't know. Whatever's true for them. This is why I don't fully believe in a script, because I don't know what's true for this person. Script might be true for me, but not true for them. All right, questions, comments, anything. Well, I'm about to give you the special bonus part that's not in your handout. So my request is that you right now, as we're talking, as we're on the phone, that you write down at least one pacing statement for each of those fill-in-the-blanks right there. Right? Even if you steal the ones that I just wrote, that's totally okay. So write one for an expired, for a FSBO, for a buyer sale, for a listing appointment, for a price reduction, for whatever. Write several of them right now. And then while everybody's writing, before I give you the secret bonus that's not written in the handout, by the way, if you haven't figured that out, I attempt to do that on every call. I have some blended technique, some little bonus, something that's always in the last 10 minutes because I want you to stay for the whole call. So questions, comments, examples, let me hear your pacing statements before we get to the bonus. Nope. No pacing statements you want to share?
Hey, Joel.
Somebody's unmuted. Yes.
With the pacing, is it okay?
Yes.
Is it okay if you just keep rolling with it? Like, you guys want to move. You want to sell your house. You need to get there soon. It's just, that's the whole entire point, is just to keep rolling with it, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to do a technique in a few weeks that is just that, which is why we're practicing these in pieces now. So, yeah, you can do a whole bunch of them in a string, sure. Mr.
Mrs.
Seller, let me make sure I got this right. You're moving to San Diego. You want to be there in 45 days. You need the money from this house to buy that house, and you already have that house picked out. And as soon as we get this house in contract, we're going to tie that one up. Did I get all that right? They're going to go, yes, yes, right? Even if you don't give them time to answer, what's happening between their ears?
They're nodding their head.
Wow. Yeah, they're nodding their head, and they're thinking, like, damn, this guy actually heard us. Wow. So the crazy part is it usually feels weird to us to repeat back what they said, but it feels great to them. Because remember, the number one complaint against salespeople across all industries is the salesperson didn't listen. And so by repeating back what they said to us, we're literally demonstrating that we did hear them. And not only are they agreeing, they're saying, like, thank God somebody finally heard me.
Awesome.
Yes, question.
I had a question, Joel.
Please.
I was on a listing appointment yesterday, and my clients were thinking about selling their current house and upgrading in the same area. And what they were sharing with me is, I'm afraid to put my house on the market until I know where I'm going. And I heard that, but I wasn't exactly sure how to make them feel safe.
Well, so when you asked them the criteria questions, what was important to them about moving?
Right, right. All their criteria things. Yes, I got that.
Well, so they wanted to sell this house, and they wanted another house in the same area. If they're not moving somewhere different, what's important about getting a different house?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ask them that question?
Yes.
Okay, and what did they role play that with me? So is this Jody, by the way?
Yeah, this is Jody. Hi.
Hi, Jody.
So what they said is, we're in a neighborhood, and we really want to get out of the neighborhood. I don't want an HO anymore. I want to be on acreage. And we've been looking for a little while. We really haven't found what we're looking for yet, but we know we want to sell our home. But we're afraid to put our house on the market because the house will sell pretty quickly, which I feel like it will, and we don't know that we're going to have a place to go.
Okay. And so... have you seen anything that you'd like to buy that's even close?
Not exactly, no, not yet.
Okay. And so, well, you have a couple of options. So a few questions for you, Jody, if I could. So Jody, so I'm going to just layer this with a whole bunch of language, everybody, so listen to this. So Jody, when you list your house with me and we have it on the market and we get an offer, and your house is in escrow, and we have, 45 days or 60 days to close it, would you consider accepting an offer from a buyer that couldn't buy the house? Like, they haven't sold their house yet. They can't perform. Would you take your house off the market for that buyer?
Well, no, of course not.
No. So... do you think that any seller would do that for you?
No.
No. Do you need the money from this house to buy the replacement house?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So you really only have a couple of options, Jody. One of them is that you can, we can look for some interim housing for you. So because it's a seller's market here, one of the things that we have control of in the escrow is when somebody writes an offer, you can say, sure, I'll take the offer, but I want a 60-day escrow. I want a 75-day escrow. And you can give yourself extra time because it's a seller's market and you're the seller. So you can buy yourself some extra time to shop. So do you think 60 days would be enough to find your replacement house?
That's the part that they were afraid of.
Yeah, and so the answer is, I don't know. Okay, so I don't know. So what options do we have? Well, we can look for a short-term rental for you so you can take 5 or 6 months to shop until the perfect thing comes up.
Uh-huh.
That's one option.
Uh-huh.
Or we can look for the perfect thing now. What happens if we look for the perfect house now and 30 days from now the perfect thing comes up, but you're not in a position to buy it because you need the money from this house to buy that house? They're not going to wait.
Gotcha.
So you have a couple of choices. Either we can sell your house and ask for a long escrow to give you time to shop. We can have a fallback plan of finding a short-term rental for you if we don't find something in those 60 days. Or we can just sell your house and trust in the universe that new stuff comes on the market every day.
Okay, so what you're saying is kind of brainstorm with them to help them come up with a solution they feel comfortable with.
Well, I don't know what solution's going to be comfortable for them, but I want to explore some options. The worst thing about fear is being scared and not moving.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're fearful, I want to say, well, what can we do about that? Well, you could do this. You could do that. We could try this. We could try. There's only a few paths that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
You can attempt to get qualified to buy the new house and then take your time. When the new house comes on the market, buy it. Then come back and sell the old house. Are you financially capable of doing that?
Mm-hmm.
It's more expensive, but it's easier. No risk.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make double house payments for a few months, but you destroy the risk because you're not going to move twice. And what's the value of not moving twice?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Joel. That helps.
So, yeah, you're welcome. So I always want to walk them through a few options. And what I think stops people is they say, oh, my God, I'm afraid. And they get stuck on this hamster wheel of not making a decision because, mm-hmm. well, but I could get stuck in the middle. Yes. I want to address that head on. Yes, you could. And here's some mm-hmm. options that we can do that will mitigate that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Helpful? You're welcome.
Yes.
Joel,
Hang on one second. I want to throw this at people, then I'll answer your question. So the bonus round that I want you all to take on is to mix these two topics together. So today we did tie-down questions, and we did pacing statements. So the bonus is to smash those together. Write a pacing statement, then tie it down. You said you want to be in San Diego in 45 days, didn't you? This was the question, I forgot who it was, and I said, come back in 10 minutes and ask me the same question. So listen to what happens when you say, you told me you want to move to San Diego, and they go, uh-huh. And then you go, didn't you? And they go, yes. So it goes from a soft yes to a strong yes. You want the most money possible for the sale, right? So when you practice these, practice a pacing statement, then tie it down. Okay, back to whoever just had that question, please. Sorry for the interruption.
No, I had two paces I wanted to share.
Oh, please, please.
So for sale by owner, you have a beautiful renovated home. It's in the Rhinex School District. You've put it on Zillow for $850,000.
Good. Three paces in a row. Be a little bit mindful with adjectives like beautiful. So usually you can get away with that. Renovated, yes, because they renovated it. That's concrete. Beautiful is subjective. So I sold a house a few years ago, and I walked in, and it was all remodeled, and it was exactly to my taste. And I walked in, and I thought, holy look at this kitchen. This is spectacular. And I went in and I said, oh, my God, this kitchen is magnificent. Are you kidding me? This is spectacular. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, we were going to demo this thing and build a real kitchen. Right? So was the kitchen spectacular? Well, to me it was, but to him it was ready for demo. I thought it was magnificent. And for him it was too small. He was going to tear it all out.
Okay, and then for price reduction, Your house has been on the market for a month. You've had 10 showings, no offers. The feedback I sent you, people said the house was had small land and it needs work. And you told me that you want to downsize to reduce your taxes.
Good. So practice for this week, you're getting a tiny bit ahead, which I like. So for this week, I'm going to encourage you to practice those in sections. Your house is on the market for 30 days, right? And then tie it down. And we've had 10 showings and no offers. Isn't that true? And what else? I forgot what your other ones were. I shared the feedback with you that says everybody says that the yard is very small. You read that, right?
Okay.
So this week, remember, we're just building habits, building habits, building habits. So this week, the habit is pacing statement, tie it down. Pacing statement, tie it down. And by the way, your pacing statements were all great.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
I've only done this
twice.
You've
only done it five times?
Yeah, this is my fifth time with you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for coming back, Debbie. So this week, the habit is to tie them down. So pace, tie down, pace, tie down, pace, tie down. This is the exercise for this week. All right? And then one quick reminder, the rapport game for this week is to see that language is an agreement. Your goal in language this week is to make agreement where you can, where it's authentic to you. Right? If somebody says something that you totally don't agree with, right? Oh, my God, I hate all these crazy immigrants coming into the country. What part of that can you agree with? Right? Say, yeah, sometimes I get scared too. right? Find the place where you do agree without agreeing with their nonsense, right? Find the piece that you find agreement. Find agreement. All right, we are top of the hour. So, as usual, thank you all for being here. We're kind of kicking it into gear next week, so we're kind of at the end of the warm-up stage. Next week, we jump into the deep end of the pool. So, thank you all for being here. You guys rock. Go make a difference in the world. Week. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Yeah, bye, everybody.